Judy Rivers, meeting. And we indicated before, based on the gubernatorial proclamation, we are able to voice these and are doing such. Remotely as possible. We are taking advantage of that tonight. Let's see if there are a few participants. I don't see any citizens. I don't believe there's any citizen comments.
Correct.
Good to go. I took a look at the minutes from our last meeting on the 18th of 2022, and I had no questions or items for correction.
I'm good.
Good to go. All right, so go ahead and approve those. And we'll go ahead and put on new business item number one, PW 2022-06, our snow operation report.
All right, thank you very much. Pretty normal day so far, which is what we like. We know we've got some weather coming Thursday. We are ready for all trucks are running. And the best news of the season is we are going to Indiana tomorrow to get our other two trucks. Everybody in there. So we will have those back spreading salt that, it's much better to spread salt with the big trucks than the little ones. They just cover a lot more ground and they're a lot more safe and safe. So unless anybody has any questions, the numbers are there. We still have 750 tons of salt in our bins and another 1,000 in the county, so we're well stocked for the season.
How are the crews doing? It seemed like there was at least one long day in here.
14 and a half hours. It was a long day, but it ended up working out for the best. We were able to just come in the next morning and just clean up some corners, and they did a great job. We got all done in one day. So they're doing well. This could be a long day, could be a little split day with early in and late out, but we'll see when it comes again.
Question I have in here. Thanks, sir. New business item number two, PW 2022-07, KCOM call for projects.
All right, the Kane Kendall Council of Mayors has a call for projects that is out. So just a reminder, this is the agency that handles the federal funds that come from the government down to CMAP as funds are distributed, and then from CMAP up to the local council of mayors. So Yorkville is part of Kane Kendall. And basically every 2 years they're having a call for new projects as new funding becomes available. Recently, in 2020, that was our last call for projects. The Bristol Ridge project was actually submitted and we were awarded funding here last fall, and that project is moving forward using federal money. So they have another call, as noted. And basically there's three types of projects that federal funds can be used for in this case. There are the major reconstruction projects, which Game Farm Road, but that project used federal funds. Minor rehabilitation, and then preservation, which is basically resurfacing projects. So the Bristol Ridge Road is a preservation project, and one that we're recommending here today would also be the same. So, the question in front of the committee is whether or not we want to do another application to give it consideration. Staff, Eric, in our office have taken a look at things. We are recommending East Baton Street to be considered for an application. So, these projects are limited to what they call FAU routes. So, there's only a certain level of street that funds can be for federal funds. There is a map that highlights what those streets are in the packet. So it is somewhat limited. It's your more major streets in town, higher level traffic, if you will. Many of the streets that are eligible or potentially eligible have had recent work done to them, so they're not quite right and ready for a rehab. So therefore, kind of the recommendation for Ben Evan to take into play. Ben Evan was planned, and is planned to be within the city's five-year plan, and it makes sense at this time to consider that. A couple items into the future, or the next call, if we look 2 years ahead or 4 years ahead, certainly there are sections of Cannonball and Kennedy Road, and possibly the West River Street, that would make sense to consider. So moving forward with Ben Emmon, the estimate is noted in the memo. This is roughly a 75% funding opportunity. So the total project cost is slightly less than $600,000. So federal funds are right around $400,000 and local about $185,000. If you're looking at the split. So be happy to address any questions or comments at this time. As far as timeline goes, just quickly to address that, the application is due at the end of March. Selection is won't happen until later on this year. So, you know, won't even know if our project's selected until late in the year. And then from there, we're not sure what year that's going to slide into. So there's quite a bit of time between the actual application and when we'll know where things stand.
So for Van Emmon, with estimate, is that a reconstruction or resurfacing?
It would be a resurfacing, so we would anticipate patching and milling and resurfacing along with some concrete work. Okay. And it ties in nice with the proposed downtown work as well. If I recall, Christie led the charge on applying for a grant, and that end of work was anticipated to be kind of a part of that overall improvement as well.
I'm good.
The only other question I have for me from you on this one is, so traditionally this was every year we would have a call for it. Looks like, is it every, or is it
every other day?
Or yeah. Is it every other day now? Just
traditionally, I would say it was half and
half. Okay.
So it was every 3 to 4 years, I think, would be common.
Okay.
If there are new rules and regs, now it's every 2 years moving forward until they decide to change it. But it appears as though
that's just a general one. Thanks for that clarification. I have no other questions outside of that. So it looks like we want to move this forward to the council for approval. I think just standard public works agenda makes sense. That's a discussion. That's good. Excellent. Thanks, Fred. New business item number 3, appeal 2-08, so EEI rate increase request.
Okay, so this is EEI's annual inflationary rate increase. This controls a couple different documents within our purview. First is anytime we have special projects, we sign off on one-off engineering agreements. These rates would be incorporated into those estimates. Within our standard base engineering contract with EEI, which has been capped $240,000 annual totals since we entered into it several years ago, that has a function of nominally reducing the amount of hours that we get each year. My suspicion, and I'm sure Brad may not confirm this otherwise, but you know, EEI does a lot of work with the city on supplemental projects. And I know that they appreciate you know, our partnership and our business, and so it's, in my mind, never had you know, an effective you know, impact on the city as far as, you know, EEI either saying that they're not going to do work or, you know, running up against an hours total at the end of the year. So we don't see an issue with the base bid being as it is, even with these increased rates, and you know, we understand that you know, contracts and personnel need to, you know, be increased as time goes on. So I did include the analysis within the spreadsheet, which kind of itemizes the different line items within there and how much of the increase goes to each one. And it is generally a 5% increase with some deviations throughout, which is a little bit higher than last year, but certainly well within the 7% national inflation rate for the past year. So it is actually a little bit sub-inflation. I think that's everything I had to share. We do recommend approval.
Is there ever a time like we have to RFP for quotes and stuff ever? I'm trying to think. I can't remember.
For engineering services?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it 10 years?
There's no time limit as far as, like, you can only be with the client for a certain amount of time before you have to go out to RFP. The standard is generally anything that's above 25 or I think it's $40,000 now under state code requires you to bid it out unless the city council approves it with a supermajority or if you have a pre-existing relationship with an engineering firm, you're allowed basically to sidestep that and just approve it with a simple majority. So, yep. You want that on the regular agenda?
Yeah,
agenda?
Okay.
Should be.
Okay. Although we can put it on and see how quickly it moves down.
Again, it'll be yanked off from fast at that.
New business item number 4, PRB 2022-09, our North Central Elevated Water Service Tank Rehab Bid Award Discussion.
All right, so we took bids on this particular project February 4th. So as a reminder, this is the rehabilitation of the tank at the Harris shop there off of Power Lane. So this will involve the full coating and recoating of the elevated tank, including the entire exterior and the interior weft. This will also have containment involved with this project. So sometimes when tanks are repainted and it's near several houses or cars or whatever the case may be, it's recommended to put up containment to try to minimize the amount of overspray, if you will, so this project will have containment as a part of it. So there were three bidders, and the low bidder, Jeffco, was in the amount of $630,750, below our engineer's estimates, and within the projected fiscal year budget that has yet to be approved, but that's coming up. So we are recommending more at this time. And I'm happy to address any questions that you might may have.
Good. Do we want to do that one on regular consent?
Yeah, let's do that on consent.
Okay.
We'll talk about it a few times, and I think it's outside of the line of the red 20 came in under the rest of the one. So we make it. So on to new business item number 5, which may or may not be related, PW 2022-10, North Central Elevated Water Service Tank Rehab, the PSA.
It is allegedly related, I think it's the offshoot of that joke. It is the 8th construction engineering agreement for the project. It is budgeted. It is an estimate within the contract of $50,000, and that'll be based on amount of hours actually spent on site. So we do recommend approval of the contract.
Any questions on that?
No.
Okay.
Consent on that one too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll read them together and see if anybody catches it. Part. New business item number 6, PRB 2022-11, our Mill Road reconstruction change order number 1.
All right, so I just want to reintroduce Nadia. She was introduced a couple months ago. Nadia does a lot of work behind the scenes within the city and keeps things rolling. And one project she had a particular involvement in was the Mill Road reconstruction project.
So NICOR had completed their relocation work on November 10th, 2021. And at that point, staff and EEI decided that they did not want the construction to pave the final surface due to weather and the issue with Fox Hill. So we decided to push paving and final surface to the springtime. So staff is supportive of the May 20th, 2022 completion date.
Washington. Yeah.
It sounds fine.
I have none. Thank you, Matt, for the update.
You're welcome.
I'm the one that can send it in a little bit, so.
I agree.
I feel like, you guys are in agreement.
You good?
Aye.
Aye.
New business item number 7, 2022-12, Ranger Yoke, Lot 362, easement modification.
All right, so we were approached by Lamar, which is the builder and owner of the lot for this particular location, with a request to modify a drainage easement. This is still owned by Lamar, it's not been sold, to our understanding. And basically, the issue is that there's an existing berm toward the back end of the lot in the existing easement. And ComEd has also put their service in that area. And in order to make the grading work on this lot, to kind of blend it in with the adjacent lots, there was some additional area that was necessary. This is the request that they get submitted grading plans to our office. Modifications and we support easement adjustment at this time. And to address any questions they would have.
So, right now Lennar owns it, but if they sell it, do they disclose that easement's different than normally? Because
yes,
normally you'd buy and say, oh, my back's what, 10 feet, right?
Yeah, they have to supply a plan of survey.
Okay.
So the easement will be recorded against the property. It'll be part of the normal due diligence.
Okay. Because I would just be concerned if someone bought it and said, "Oh, I don't know, they want to put a shed back there or something."
Well, that doesn't mean 20 years from now they're gonna come to us and say, "Why can't I do this?"
20 years? I don't have to worry about that.
We can be 5 or 10. How could you guys do this?
Yeah.
Is that a retirement announcement 19 years from now?
That's a question I had, if we disclose that to them.
I have no questions. I'd like to move forward, but let's keep on how we work agenda.
Regular agenda?
I would imagine there might be some discussion on that.
Okay.
Similar to the questions. So you guys
are important. I don't do that yet.
Not in agreement, you can motion move it to the consent agenda that I intro.
Sure. I'd move everything if I could.
Excellent. Zero number, the timber was leased one for some reason, land is shit. Oh, it's listed number 9. Is that new business number 8 or 9? The sheet says 9.
I have 8. Timber Ridge, right?
Yeah. Okay, it's listed. It's listed as 9 on the actual agenda item. It's number 8, so it's just that one's just off because the next one says 9 as well. Mm-hmm. All right, so actually, new business number 8, PW 2022-14, Timber Ridge Estates proposed amendment to SSA.
Yeah, Christy is online, and she can explain some of the basics of the backup SSA and the analysis and the memo that's on there. In general, this is the standard provision within all of our development agreements. It says if an HOA goes defunct, we have to have a mechanism to be able to pick up the slack accordingly. So, Christy, why don't you take it from there?
Sure. The adopted stormwater management ordinance requires us to have this backup mechanism in any subdivision so that we can, our engine, go in and maintain these facilities if the SSA, the HOA rather, is no longer functioning. So in this agreement, there are 8 lots that are to be designated for stormwater management. Lots 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, and 90. Also listed in the document is lot 91, which is meant to be a temporary access easement, which staff is now recommending be removed from this ordinance because the main purpose of the SSA is for the maintenance, the future maintenance of the stormwater ordinance facility. In the stormwater ordinance, stormwater management facility, this particular development is unique in that it has a retained retaining wall and fencing included within these facilities. So it makes maintenance very important in the future. The city engineer had estimated the cost for maintaining the stormwater management facilities within a development about $33,000 a year over the next 100 years. And this includes annual maintenance of the basins, which would be about $6,000 a year, removal and replacement of a fence at year 20, which would be about $89,000, and then the removal and replacement of the retaining wall in years 15 to 100 at about $1.1 million. At each point. So the 83 lots that are designated for single family residential in subdivision, the developer estimated that the EAV, which is the equal access value, would be about $450,000 for these homes, so that the maximum special service area tax would be $1.10 for every $100 of assessed value, which equals to a maximum amount the city can impose on each of those lots, about $1,650. The city does not anticipate that we would have to max out that amount. We would be well under that amount, but that is the established maximum for that subdivision at a $450,000 home. So in the memo, there are phases of build out, phases one through completion. And we estimate that at each point during the phase, the city would have enough money if the homeowners association is defunct or never activated, it would be able to maintain its basement.
Just a couple items to note for those of you that have approved these before. The analysis that Christy just presented was basically a justification for the maximum tax levy and, you know, basically a certification for you to know that whatever the worst case scenario is in that subdivision, we have enough tax revenue to be able to cover it. Again, this would be a backup SSA. We don't anticipate ever having to use it. It's just that the HOA doesn't decide to do so. The maximum tax that's listed in there is our standard maximum tax for a backup SSA. So there's nothing different about that between the other subdivisions. We're just providing you the backup calculations so that you can see where we came to that number. There is a question as to whether this will be on next week's agenda. The developer had some questions about one of the lots that connects to Route 71. It's basically an egress emergency access lot. And how it relates to this, if at all. So Christy and I have to talk today, tomorrow, and probably Thursday before we can get that ordinance on the city council agenda for next Tuesday. If not, it'll just be the meeting after that. So that is a little bit of a moving piece that we're still trying to figure out. So,
it was not able to be on the next meeting, and it moves back to the first one in March. We're expecting the public hearing to still be on the 22nd March, or would that have to be pushed back to?
It would probably be pushed back to. So,
okay,
yep.
So about 2 weeks for everything to push back.
Yep.
To. Okay.
Just refresh me, because it's been a while since we brought in a new subdivision. How long does it take for them to kick in their SSA? I mean their HOA?
Well, the HOA theoretically should be formed whenever they sell the first house, in some form or another. There isn't a mandate under city code, but it's generally good practice to have those rules in place before they start to sell houses. That way, when people look at title, you know, they can't either object to an HOA being in place and or they just know what they're getting themselves into. So, but functionally, you know, that HOA can still be controlled by the developer for years until total build out, and that depends on however the developer structures the HOA rules when they create it.
Because I've had two experiences in my ward that where that was really went south and sour, and I was just curious, because I think the one, the developer had it for, yeah, like 51%.
Yep.
For quite a while, and he was calling all the shots, and the residents weren't happy about it.
Yeah.
You remember it probably.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wild west. We don't get to dictate what's in the HOA rules, so the developer can make it as fair or unfair as they'd like.
But in my subdivision, he could have the developer got 10 votes to a little overhead. So he retained control until about 80% of
it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm thinking about ground effects, that subdivision.
Okay.
There was actually litigation, I think, started on that.
Yep.
That was because they only collected news from some of the homes.
Also true.
Trust me.
They knew it all.
Yeah, at those meetings as well. They're probably going to move to this part of our house.
I have another question. So we have a meeting before our next public board meeting, so we all agree from the city council, once everything's squared away.
Good.
That would be good, because then Dan could make sure he's aware of it.
So you're okay with it going on the regular agenda
yeah.
for next week? Okay, just
yeah.
as long as it's on the okay, regular agenda. Great.
Thanks. A couple of parameters, actually a few parameters. This is actually the new business number 9, EW2022-14, parameters of unit number 9, street name change.
All right, then he's going to take all three of these.
So Pembroke County GIS had approached me about renaming Sealy Street that's north of Legion's Crossing, basically the cul-de-sac. They requested that it be called Sealy Court. The builder, we have already contacted the builder, letting them know about the name change, and it didn't seem like they had any concerns with it. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to address.
Yes.
So to move that forward, I'm good with the consent agenda.
Stay here.
Okay. So new business item number 10, EW2022-15, grant reserve unit number 13.
So all the work related to public improvements, including punch list work, have been completed in unit 13. There are two lots that need a sidewalk installed, but we anticipate that sidewalk be installed once the one-year maintenance bond has expired. The one-year maintenance period has expired. Along with the acceptance, there is a letter of credit reduction in the amount of $123,062. That is being held for the performance, the 10% performance guarantee. If you have any questions, I'll be happy.
That's pretty standard.
Same thing, we'll go through that one.
Okay.
We have one more. Do you have any water or anything for this?
Oh, no, okay. I thought I was just, yeah. So, unit 14, it's right next to unit 13, so same thing. All that work related to public improvements, including the punch list work, has been completed. There is three lots within that unit that need sidewalk installed, and we anticipate that sidewalk being installed prior to the one-year maintenance period expiring. There is a letter of credit reduction in the amount of $176,242. That leaves for the 10% performance guarantee. And that's it. Any questions?
Try back on that one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Guy. New business item number 12, EW2022-17, by Fox Road.
So I do not have anything to pass out, but I will narrate the concept and why it's still a concept. With the understanding that this will be done in the next 2 days on the City Council agenda for Tuesday, because Kendall County needs approval of this, you know, by the end of February, so they can get the project bid out April 1st. So the general concept is, and I'm going to pull up a map here, probably the best way to do it. And I'm not going to share it, Aaron or Christy. I'm just going to narrate it in the room here. So I think you guys are aware of the general concept. Okay, so we've got, so we've got Fox Road. This is Route 47 here. Here's Fox Road coming all the way down to White Oak Way. In general, Fox Road is a city road all the way west to River's Edge.
Correct.
Yes.
The west edge of it.
And Kendall County has Fox Road on the west end here. So county highways are supposed to, according to different funding rules and planning you know, concepts, supposed to start and end at state highways. That's their preference. So Kendall County is going to be proposing to actually take over a portion of Fox Road all the way adjacent to our municipal boundaries. So all the way from River's Edge all the way to 47. So they are willing to do that because they have funds available to do county highway work. It helps them with their transportation system in general. And it makes them eligible for different grants and stuff down the road. And they want to help us out, obviously, and improve the, you know, the regional street system. But they are asking for us to contribute, obviously. It's our road. It's due for a replacement or a resurfacing. And so their proposal was, you know, please consider resurfacing this for the last time and then turning it over to us so that we can maintain it. That would be a net benefit to us, or at least to Yorkville taxpayers, because then the cost of maintaining that road is spread over more residents. On the downside, and I don't know that it's a downside, we lose a little bit of control. You know, we can't we can maintain it, I suppose, if we wanted to, potentially at our risk. You know, we wouldn't be able to control when the road gets resurfaced, but for us, you know, we know that that timeline has been probably too long rather than Kendall County's relatively ideal resurfacing timelines. So the reason it's not on the agenda is the mayor wanted to talk to the county engineer, a couple county board members, to actually see what they were proposing as far as a cost sharing, if any, for this project before we put it in writing and go from there. We are tentatively concluding a worst case scenario in the budget proposal, which I hope will be ready for everybody on Thursday. So these timelines are kind of all coming together here. The estimate of resurfacing this entire section of roadway is right around $600,000 to $700,000. Yeah, so, and that includes actually a piece of a missing sidewalk all the way from the east end of White Oak Way to basically the bottom of the hill somewhere here.
To the top of the hill, Morgan Street.
All the way to Morgan Street. So there is no sidewalk there.
Right.
And so they're actually including that within the cost estimate and they're proposing to complete all this. So their proposal, assuming the cost share eventually works out, is that they would actually do the design and then do the work and then just send us the bill, which is another benefit. We don't have to worry about having to control it. So, and they don't have any concerns over easement acquisition or anything with the sidewalk area. So they think that that's going to go relatively smoothly. So that's the general concept. We just don't know what the cost share is. And the final agreement isn't done yet, obviously. So that's what's, why it's not in the packet.
They've done these elsewhere in the county. I know it was the most recent one at Bend Street. They went to Bend Street South from Route 34 to where the city limits were, where the first package was.
So, question I got then. So, the side, you answered the sidewalk east of White Oak. What about west? Because weren't we trying to get a sidewalk? And then I don't know if they even want to go out to Hoover with something.
They have no plans as part of this proposal to address anything west of this
White
end
Oak.
Point on the east end of White Oak. So we still have easements that cut through side yards and backyards here, and you know we would basically be turning the decision making up to them as to whether they wanted to, you know, acquire additional property in the future to connect River's Edge out to White Oak.
Yeah, because I know I ride out that way. It's kind of interesting.
Yep.
beware.
That's a good way to put it.
Thank you for the information.
You're welcome.
Do we have any questions?
No, I picked up before I heard that. Is that the first time that's gone?
Yeah, it's been talked about in concept for a few years now. It's just now they're ready to fund it, ready to take it over.
We've done this before with other roads, haven't we?
We're going to apply for a grant.
Yeah, we've had jurisdictional transfers with them. I'm not aware of anything quite like this where we just funded it and then dumped it off to them.
No, this is the first one. Yeah. We have one more to go. Because that adds to our city limits.
Yep.
And I think in both cases, because we were here long before the county highway system.
Yep.
Excellent. No more business items? Does anybody have any additional business?
You can go first.
This is probably more for Bart to get in touch with your IDOT buddies.
Yes.
The light. Have you heard anything from the Tuma Road Light?
I have not, no.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, 47 is like really cracking by the landmark there, by the car wash. There's one lane. I mean, I was driving and I'm like, whoa, look at, because that concrete's
separate.
And it's pretty new, it's not that old to be doing that.
You hit it right by landmark there, it's a big southbound lane.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like two trench that's settled in. It's a big storm sewer trench that's settled in. They can't not be aware of it. They don't have it every day. So I can also relate to them that we have access.
Yeah, I just like seeing it. Being that it's so new, I think that's the road. It shouldn't be that an issue for a long time.
Can you like me, like you say, so new that's.
Well,
roughly 9 years old now.
Yeah.
Is it?
8, maybe.
Holy crap. It is.
That
was the idea of making it concrete, right?
Correct.
So it would last longer.
Right.
Instead of black. So yeah, I don't know who you... I just tossed it out there because I noticed it.
Okay, I had sent everybody the email on Bright Farms yesterday as it relates to the conversation we had at the YBSD board meeting. Brad and I and Christy did attend that board meeting remotely yesterday. In general, they were in favor of our proposal. They wanted us to put it in writing, send it to them for their next board meeting, which is March 14th. So we're in the process of doing that. I don't know whether we'll have a full development agreement available for review and potential approval on Tuesday. We will definitely have some sort of memo that outlines the status of negotiations and the term sheet at minimum. We're just wrapping up a lot of different recapture concepts and stuff that need to be in detail in an agreement. That takes some time to go back and forth. So that's where we sit.
That grant got submitted, right?
It did, yeah. The state has received it. They've asked some follow-up questions since then. They have not given us a timeline for turnaround on it yet.
Because there was an article, SBY, about from Plano.
Yep.
Saying that we have other issues there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's all about.
That's it.
Excellent.
Good. Thank you.
You can have a 12 items.
Good. You had a good minute.